Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. We're talking about horses. Horses, I have loved horses all of my life, even though they have been cruel to me at times. I was a Mustanger. I lived up here in these mountains, in the wilds of Nevada, catching wild Mustangs and training them one-on-one. And I really enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed riding these country. It was an experience that you could not have today in all reality. There aren't as many of the Mustangs here as there were then. They were here by the hundreds at that time. And you could find them easily in these mountains. Now, there are herds of Mustangs we can go and we went to town the other day and came back, and we probably saw going there and coming back probably a combination of about 100 horses, I imagine, close to that. But there would be 100 horses in these hills right here at that time. And the horses were very big horses for Mustangs. I trained a horse one time by the name of Slewfoot. He was 17'3". That's a big Mustang. He was probably part draft horse and, of course, thoroughbred. They would, in the early days, before World War I and between World War I and World War II, they would come up in this area here where the Mustang mares were, and sometimes they'd turn out a good mare, a quarter horse or a thoroughbred mare, or an Arabian even. And they would take and shoot the stallion and kill him. And they would turn out a thoroughbred stallion, a former racehorse or something that didn't do wonderfully well. And on his neck would be USGOV, United States Government. And then his offspring would be large. The horse would have to be at least 16 hands. They would turn one loose. They would turn one no less than 16 hands tall. Hand is 4 inches. 16 times that. So the horses were big. You had a lot of large Mustangs at that time. Good-looking horses. Now, we would catch those and train them and make cow horses out of them. And sometimes people would buy them and just have a pleasure horse out of them. They were very sure-footed, and if they were 2 or 3 years old, they had been out in the wild, and they would take care of you, and they would take care of themselves. They were very wise to the wild, to danger. You just had to be able to stay on the horse to jump 10 feet wide, sideways, because they would. If they saw something that was not safe, they would jump that far sideways. We're talking about these horses in the book of Revelation. The sixth chapter. Horses have been very important in history. Horses were very important in Egypt, in warfare, and in the Middle East in warfare. They were important in Europe and Asia Minor in warfare, and even Arabia, the Arabian horses. Down all the way into Yemen, and as the Muslims went into Europe, they took their horses with them. And the horses that they had with what they called the Spanish Barbs, and the descendants of them today are these wild Mustangs. Of course, there were horses here in America. I know people will deny that, but there were horses here. The Nez Perce bred a strain of horses that were very old, that went back into basically Genghis Khan's time and the Russian. They were, if you look at them and you find those Russian wild horses, you'll see that they're very closely related. They have striped hooves and mottled noses. They have short tails, etc. Those are the Appaloosas. When the Muslims brought the horses into Europe and conquered Spain and France and that area for several hundred years, They brought these war horses with them. Today, those are the horses that are in the Spanish riding schools, the Lipizzan Stallions. My stepfather, Dale Remling, trained those Lipizzan Stallions. He could take a Mustang and make it like a Lipizzan Stallion. That's how Mr. Cord down here, the Cord, Duesenberg, and Auburn cars that he built, and many other things, airplanes, all kinds of things that he built and invented. He hired us because he saw the Mustangs that we were training were like dressage horses. He was very impressed. And we trained his Arabians, and my dad showed them and won all over the country with them. I was a horseman there on the Cord Ranch in 1960 and 1961. Horses are beautiful animals. The American Indian called them Shukawakan. Shuka means dog. My name in Lakota is Shugamiatatonka, which means the dog, the great wolf that follows the buffalo herds. Shukawakan meant a horse or a dog, a big dog, a horse that was blessed by God. Shukawakan. It was a holy dog, a holy horse. Now, the horses here that we're going to see in the book of Revelation are not holy. These horses have demons behind them. They have a demonic religion and a demonically inspired leader riding them. A horse is an animal of war. Mules don't like to go into where there's danger. They're too smart for that. Donkeys, you can't, or burros, you can't get them near danger. They don't want it. They're probably smarter than the owners of them sometimes. Horses have to be controlled when they go into battle. I have seen some very rigid, very, what we might call severe bits that they rode with those horses to keep them under control, under fire. Bullets, arrows, screaming, hollering, explosions. Now, the horses that we have in Revelation, the sixth chapter, are war horses. They are war horses. Starting with number 6 and verse number 1, and I have read this in the last class, but we're going to go down here and we're going to look at this again and go to verse number 3 where we stopped. Now, these horses are going to be ridden during this tribulation period right here. After the church age is over, the rapture has taken place, hell is turned loose on earth, literally, because there are demonic beings that are going to be turned loose on this earth that mankind has never seen before. 6 and verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living beings saying with a voice of thunder, come. And I look and behold a white horse, a leukohippos. Leukohippos. Leuka. A white horse. And he said, oh, it had a bow. A bow is an implement of war. We might call these lasers today in the modern age. We might call these guns. What we might call rockets. Rifle-fired rockets. Had a horse and he sat upon it, had a bow, had the ability to make war, and a crown was given to him. Now this word crown is Stephanos, as I said before, and this is an inherited crown. And he went out conquering to conquer. Now, it is so surprising that the eschatology of the Bible so runs along with Islamic eschatology. Everything in the Bible that is bad is good in Islam. The Sunnahs, the Hadiths, and the quotation from the Quran. Now, In Islamic eschatology, there is an Antichrist, there's a beast, and there's a false prophet. Or there is a Christ, a beast, and a false prophet. I want to quote to you some of the writings of Islam. Islam is looking for a Mahdi. This Mahdi is going to be, in some sources, a descendant of the daughter of Muhammad, Fatima. And here are some quotations concerning this. The promised Mahdi will be among my family. Allah will make the provisions for his emergence within a single night. In another place, the promised Mahdi would be among my progeny, among the descendants. The Mahdi will be of my family, the descendants of Fatima, the prophet's daughter. In another place it says, all Mahdi is one of us, the members of my own household. Our Mahdi will have a broad forehead and a pointed, prominent nose. He will fill the earth with justice as it is filled with injustice and tyranny. He will rule for 7 years. In another place, it says, all Mahdi will be from my progeny. His forehead will be broad and his nose will be high. In a consummation of this, he is going to be the exact incarnation of Muhammad. That Muhammad's spirit will be in this leader. And that this leader will be a very shy man or a very timid man in the beginning. But that the Islamic world will swear allegiance to him and force him to be their leader. Another place, again, it says, the Mahdi will be my progeny. His forehead will be broad. His nose will be high. He will fill the world with justice. And he will rule for 7 years. After the death of a ruler, there will be some dispute between the people. At that time, a citizen of Medina will flee from Medina and go to Mecca. While in Mecca, certain people will approach him between Hairu and Aswad and Maqam and Ibrahim and forcefully pledge their allegiance to him. Thereafter, a huge army will proceed from Syria. Now, supposedly, also, he's supposed to come from Syria. And he flees over there to Mecca. And then a huge army will proceed from Syria to attack him, but when they will be at Baida, which is between Mecca and Medina, they will be swallowed into the ground. These are some of the things it says about him. The Imam Mahdi will disrepute the spoils of war after battles. He will lead the people according to the Sunnah, and during his reign, Islam will spread throughout the whole world. And he will remain 7 years. And he will pass away, and the Muslims will perform his Janazah Salat. A group of my ummah, my family, will fight for the truth until near the day of judgment, when Jesus, the son of Mary, will descend, and the leader of them will ask him to lead in prayer. But Jesus declined, says, no, verily among you Allah has made leaders for others, and he has bestowed his bounty upon them. The Mahdi will come from the family of the Prophet, among the descendants of Fatima. Number two, he will have a broad forehead and a pointed nose. He will appear in one night, number three, appear just before the day of judgment, have the same name as Hazrat Muhammad, escape from Medina to Mecca, where people will pledge allegiance to him, receive a pledge and help of the Iraqi people. He will fight in battles. He will rule over the Arabs for 7 years, according to the Sunnah. He will spread justice and equity on the earth. He will eradicate tyranny and oppression. Lead a prayer in Mecca, which Jesus will follow in. Now, that's not the same Jesus that we're talking about in the Bible, by the way. Let's talk about this Jesus, that is Islam's Jesus. Islam's Jesus is born of a Virgin Mary. He did a lot of miracles when he was a baby. The Bible does not say that. The Bible said that Jesus began to do miracles when he was 30 years old. Muhammad, or Islam, uses periods of time that correspond to the Bible. The 7 years of the reign of the Mahdi and the 7 years of the tribulation period upon the earth. The Bible says there will be a false Jesus, and the Bible says there will be a false prophet, and the Bible says there will be a beast. The Jesus of the Muslim world, upon his return to earth, Jesus is said to return to earth in the last days near the mosque in Damascus. He will arrive at a time when the Mahdi and his army will be preparing to pray. He will be offered to lead in prayer by the Mahdi, but will decline in direct reference to the Mahdi, who Jesus declares to be the leader of all Muslims. And the word Muslim means to submit. He will then pray behind the Mahdi as a subordinate. He will be a faithful Muslim. He will make pilgrimage to Mecca. He will visit Muhammad's grave and salute Muhammad, and whereby Muhammad will return the salute from the grave. He will destroy Christianity. He will destroy the cross. He will repel the jizya tax. The jizya tax is a tax that it is protection money. In the world today, in the Islamic world, if you're not a Muslim, you have to pay protection money, you know, just like the mafia, you know. You watched The Godfather, didn't you? Protection money. Now, the false Jesus, Isa, he's going to abolish the jizya tax, causing the only portion or option for Jews and Christians is to convert to Islam or die. There will be no more jizya, no more protection money. He will establish Islamic Sharia law throughout the entire earth, according to Islamic cultural eschatology. He will kill the Antichrist and his followers, made up largely of Jews and women. The Antichrist, of course, is going to be a Jew. He will remain on the earth for roughly 40 years, including this 7-year period that the Mahdi is going to live, during which time he will marry and have children and then die. The Muslim Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. If a Muslim tells you they believe in Jesus, they do not believe in our Jesus. I can guarantee you that much. Now, we covered the Mahdi, which I believe is the equivalent of the Antichrist. We've covered the false Christ, the Isa, Jesus. And of course, the Mahdi is a prophet also. And now we're going to cover the beast. The beast of Islam is an animal. It is an animal made up of several kinds of animals. It's a beast. It's called the Dabat Arat. It'll be one of the signs of the coming of the last days when he comes forth. He's going to come out of the earth. The beast will appear after the sun rises in the west, where the beast will be sighted in first time, and the beast is mentioned in the Quran, and it's also mentioned in the Ahadith, which expand upon the characteristics of this beast. Islamic tradition holds that the beast will precipitate the death of all true believers and of the removal of the Quran from the world. The Quran mentions that the beast will address the unbelievers and admonish them for their lack of attention towards God. And when the word is fulfilled against them, the unjust, we shall produce from the earth a beast to face them. He will speak to them, for that mankind did not believe with assurance in our signs. A well-known hadith, one writer says, states that the beast will carry the seal of Solomon, the seal of Solomon and the staff of Moses. He will mark the believers with the staff, and the seal will mark the unbelievers. Now, in Islam, their confession of faith is, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet or his messenger. There is no God but Allah, and his messenger is Muhammad. Now, in jihad and all of these bombings, these radical, what they call radical Islamic people, they are just doing what Muhammad did. They kill people, and they die blowing themselves up. And upon their forehead and upon their arm, they write, they have a streamer, a diadem, which reads, "There is no God but Allah. He has no companion, no Jesus, and Muhammad is his messenger." A similar tradition attributed to Ibn al-Zubayr also describes the beast carrying the seal of Solomon, describes the beast as a chimera composed of parts of various types of animals, including the head of a bull, the ears of an elephant, the horn of a stag, the neck of an ostrich. Now, this is really a weird-looking animal, a beast. And it's described as a very large creature with a distance between his limbs of 20 cubits. And some say 12 cubits. Whatever it is, it's a big animal, supposedly. We will see the description of the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist from the Word of God. But I wanted to introduce you to what Islam says. Now, we talk about empires rising and falling, and we'll talk about that later. But the last empire to rule over Jerusalem and the Middle East and Palestine was the Caliphate. It dissolved. It was dissolved in the 1920s, July, I believe, of 1921. And the Islamic culture that we have there in the Middle East today, they're killing everybody out of Syria, etc., are trying to establish that Caliphate again. That empire was not the Roman Empire, was the last empire. It's not a revised Roman Empire. The last empire was the Islamic Empire, the Caliphate. And that empire will be raised again. And I believe during this period of time, riding these horses, I believe the Mahdi is going to ride these horses. I wrote the book of Revelation, my doctor's thesis, in 1980. And I said it was a revised Roman Empire, but I do not believe that. I've learned a lot since then. And I think that many leaders now are beginning to say the same thing that I am saying. I think I was one of the first ones to do that. Marilyn said, "You've got the whole world on fire about this." I have known and I have met converted Muslims that believe that in the end times, because they studied it, that the Mahdi, the beast, and the false prophet, they always wanted to take the mark of the beast. They always looked forward to taking the mark of the beast, which is allegiance to Allah through Muhammad. The Bible says if you take the mark of the beast that you are damned forever. Now let's go back and read and come up to where we were. One of the four living creatures saying with a voice of thunder, "Come." And I looked and behold a white horse. A white horse is usually a horse of peace. It is a horse that white is a what we might call a color of peace and safety. The Antichrist will come forth on a platform of peace and safety. Now the Jews have been looking for a Messiah that will build them a temple in Jerusalem. They want to take up their sacrifices again. And by the way, in Mecca, they have sacrifices continually there. They sacrifice goats, sheep, and camels. Then they eat the meat. Now, Islam will say, the Muslims will say, that they're so much like the Jews because they worship on Friday and they don't eat a swine. But the Muslims will eat shellfish and they will eat camels. Camel is one of the sacrificial animals. They're different. "Behold, a white horse, a horse of peace. And he who sat in had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer." He goes out and brings his empire throughout the world. And he says, "Come and I'll give you peace and safety." Now, a hudna is a contract or a covenant or a treaty that is done it's a false peace. Muhammad went to Mecca and he made a treaty with them because he said he wanted to come there and worship and go around the Kaaba 7 times just like all the pagans did. All the things the pagans did, he did. But he wanted to come around and walk around that Kaaba according to Islamic culture, if you want your sins forgiven, you have to make that pilgrimage. Because that Kaaba will absorb your sins. It's the only way you'd be forgiven of your sins. Well, Muhammad wanted to go there and he went with camels one time and they stopped him. And they said, "Come back next year." By next year, and he made a treaty with them. By next year, he became very powerful. And he went in there and he killed hundreds of people and displaced the whole country. And by the way, these were his family, his own tribe, the Quraysh. He went in there and took over the Kaaba under false pretense of peace. The Hudna. Muhammad made a peace treaty with the tribes around Medina. And then when he was strong enough, he basically displaced all of those Jewish tribes and took over their land and killed hundreds of them. The false peace, the Hudna, the peace that is only made, the contract, the covenant that is only made to gain an advantage. "And when he had broke the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, 'Come.'" Uite. "And another, a red horse, went out, And to him who sat upon it was granted to take peace from the earth. Red is the color, the sorrel horse is the color of blood. Now, according to Islamic tradition, and according to the Bible, there's going to be a false prophet that arises, and that he is going to make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years. And according to the Bible, he's going to build a temple in Jerusalem. And according to Islamic culture, he is going to build a temple in Jerusalem. But when he becomes powerful enough, he changes horses onto a red horse. Now, according to Islamic culture also, the Kaaba stone is in Mecca. According to Islamic culture, there's going to be a great war in that area, in Arabia, and there will be great destruction, and they will bring the Kaaba stone to Jerusalem. And it will be a temple of all nations and all beliefs. By the way, you can donate to that temple on sites. Donate to the new temple in Jerusalem. You can go make a donation to that if you want to donate to the Antichrist temple. And you can also donate to get Jews from all over the world so they can go back into the Holy Land and begin their culture. You can do that if you want to. The second seal. And he broke the second seal, and I heard a voice, a second living creature, saying, come. And however we have that red horse, a horse of war and a horse of blood. And he went out, and to him sat upon was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword, a great implement of death was given to him. Now let's go back into the Greek book of Revelation as we go forward from here. Now we come to a different horse, a different colored horse. I have ridden white horses, I have ridden sorrel horses, and I have ridden black horses. And when he opened up the seal, the third, I heard the third living being saying, you come, and I saw, and behold, a horse, Melos, black. Hippos Melos. And the one sitting upon him having scales. A scale. Out on the farm, we have scales out there. And if you go into a bathroom scale or something, and it says not for trade. In other words, you can't use that. That scale is not accurate enough to use it for trade. It has to have a seal on it by the what we call an official seal with a signature on it that it has been certified as an accurate scale. By weights and measures. Now the one that's sitting upon this horse has a scale of weights and measures in his hand. He's going to set a standard. He is going to establish a law of how much things cost. It's going to be a monopoly of commerce. There's going to be one head of commerce. You know, we look upon things in America as what we call a culture that has an economy that is based upon supply and demand, and it has different people competing for your business. It used to be Montgomery Ward's and Sears Roebuck and Kmart, Blue Light at Kmart, and Walmart. And Rite Aid and Thrifty's, Drug. And all these places were in competition with other free enterprise. But here, there's not going to be any free enterprise whatsoever. total state control. Mass slavery is instituted and the economy is established. Mass slavery is introduced. Now in America, we had a war in 1860 to 65 in our nation. It was not started over slavery, but states' rights. But it ended up being a war over slavery. And hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children lost their lives between the wars of the states. And Abraham Lincoln said it was, in the end, he said it was a war to establish mankind as free individuals and abolish slavery. For 150 years or more, there has been a law against polygamy in America. And they have arrested people from the Mormon culture and Joseph Smith's descendants. And we know that there are places in Utah, Nevada, Arizona, that even in Montana, that there are groups of polygamists. And they look up these people. When a man has 10 women under him, they know something's wrong. He's collecting welfare for 10 families. That's what they look for. That is what they call a red flag. You go in these places, you'll buy a piece of land out there and put mobile homes on it and trampolines. This is what I've heard, see. And he goes by and visits the women once a month at least and gets a check. Now, the woman has food stamps that America is paying for, the states, whatever state they're in, and they have medical insurance. And so they're going, they're having babies and everything, but this, and we look at this as a horrible thing, which it is. But there is another culture in America that we don't hear about at all, and that's an Islamic culture that's doing exactly that same thing. Except that a Muslim can only have 4 free wives. In other words, 4 free Muslim wives. Now, they're secondary citizens. They're not like a Mormon man. Not like a Muslim man, that is. And he can have all the sex slaves that he can afford. Now, Marilyn, you have seen this as well as I have. You go into big stores, Walmart, and you go into these lines and you see these people here and you'll see one man, one Muslim man, and you'll see 3 or 4 Muslim women. They're all in their own food stamps. Mm-hmm. And they're buying 15 or 20 gallons of milk and orange juice and different bread, and then you go see meat that has a sign on it that means it's kosher or clean are certified to be Muslim. You see all of this in those shopping baskets. You're paying for that, people. Sharia law is enforced in places in America, and slavery is going on today, and we had a civil war over it. And yet, this culture now that's going to come in here is going to establish slavery again. And it's already here, people. It's called Sharia law. They will not submit to the Constitution of the United States of America nor any other country. Only under Sharia law, because Sharia law was established by Allah. And all other countries, the constitutions were established by men. And here we have it right here in God's Word. The one sitting upon the horse had scales in his hand. And he sets prices. And he establishes Sharia law throughout the land. If a bank is Sharia compliant, he will not charge a Muslim interest. but you will pay for it. Mass slavery, the economy will be completely controlled with the church and state. America fought to separate the church from the state. We have a constitution and we have a Bill of Rights also that specifies that out. In America, the original colonies were established under a state church because all they understood in this country was state churches until Rhode Island was established. And that's the first free state colony. You could believe anything you wanted to. And it was established by Baptists. You could be an atheist. You could be whatever you wanted to. And you didn't have to pay taxes to pay for the church, the state church. This is what's coming upon this earth, people. We're going to quit right here for this message. This is what's going to come upon this earth. I believe it is Islam going to be established. Whatever it is, it's going to be established according to this type of culture. It will be a state church culture. It will be a religious political entity. The Catholic Church ruled the world for over 1,000 years in the Holy Roman Empire. You didn't have any rights in these countries. You couldn't marry a woman if you were not a Catholic. You were just a man and a woman. No other church was recognized. They say you go into Utah and the places where the Mormon church is in power, that you it's very hard for you to buy land, get water rights, or get a job. But we're not talking about hard to get a job, hard to get it. If you don't have the mark of the beast at this time, you won't get a job. You won't have any food. They'll cut you completely off. You'll have no protection. You can't pay protection money any longer. It's over with. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to warn people. This is what's coming upon this earth. Father, forgive me where I fail you, please, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you use this message, and I thank you for all the students you've given me all over the world, that you'll touch their lives, that you'll protect them wherever they are. We're in India, Russia, China, anywhere they might be, Wales, France. Wherever that this law is established and they see it coming, Father, I pray that you protect them and let them lead others to your truths. Father, forgive me again, I pray. And let use this message for your honor.